Boyd County Board of Supervisors, May 7th, 2019. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
We're removing one of the work sessions. I have it marked on your.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh, shucks.
Maybe I'll make my meeting in the morning. Maybe the department heads, elected officials, Terry Johnson, Boyd County Auditor.
Good morning. I sent you guys an email today, and I sent it to Lisa also, because with the new legislation, my signature and my title is no longer allowed on the ballots. We have to put our county seal on there, so I guess we need to figure out what our official county seal is. So I sent it to the printers, because we don't have an official form, and it just basically has to stay our county and state and stuff like that. We have the basic one that we use for our imprinter back there. I went down and looked at Janelle's, and Janelle's is basically the same thing, except hers says treasurer underneath. So anyway, we gotta determine an official seal to put on the ballots now.
Well, that'd be fun.
I didn't realize Boyd County had a flag until I'd been in office a couple, 3 years. And I asked a number of people, somebody asked about the Boyd County flag. So I don't know, and I asked people here in the courthouse. Finally, somebody told me, he said, you've been sitting there, he said, for 2 years, and never looked at the back. He said, that's the only one that existed. So anyway, so apparently my eyesight wasn't good enough. So we have a flag, now we need a seal, so.
We have a logo, but now we just need the official seal put on the ballots.
So what, they expect us to be alert?
Well, I don't know, I looked at it, I didn't know it was a flag, I guess I knew the flag.
I think I had to remember when they put it there.
Rodney Bleesner. Rodney Starlight, Rodney, I know you've been working down there at the attorney's office to keep all the county business, buildings dry, so thank you for that.
So far, we've been pretty lucky. The city's done a great job working downtown here, so kudos to them. They've done a pretty good job with keeping things dry for us down there along the river, so. Yeah, we took a few precautionary steps over the weekend, just because nobody was gonna kind of be around for the weekend, but it's starting to go back down. Hopefully it don't come back up, but crossing our fingers on that, but everything's going pretty good down there so far. We're lucky we don't have a basement. If we had a basement down there, it would've been a different situation, but so we're in pretty good shape. I wanted to mention we're gonna have a active shooter drill exercise Tuesday, June 11th. So with the board's blessing, we're gonna shut the courthouse down at 2:30 that afternoon and do a full-scale exercise and drill. Gonna have a lot of entities involved with that. Burlington PD, the Sheriff's Department, the Ambulance Service, the Fire Department. It's gonna be emergency management, and Angie, and everybody's kind of come together and had a couple meetings on putting this together. It's going to be a pretty big exercise with a lot of people involved, so it'll be good. It'll be during the afternoon, so there probably will be a couple road detours down here while the exercise is going on, but it should be a pretty good exercise and drill for all of us in case something should happen. So if you mark that on your calendars, June 11th at 2:30, we appreciate it. That's all I have. Thank you.
Rodney, I discussed this earlier. We're going to make one change from the last time. Apparently, there was a phone call dropped or wasn't received, so that if the Highway Patrol gets any calls that there's an active shooter at the Boyd County Courthouse, they don't scramble. Jared, how are things in land use?
Pretty typical. I'd say it's had a fair amount of new inquiries in the last couple of weeks. Subdivision-wise, we don't have anything on the agenda today, but we have a couple that are out for review right now, and a few more that are in the pipeline, anticipate probably coming forward in the next month or so. So nothing apart from that, nothing noteworthy.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
I'm still putting the active shooter thing.
You want me to do something, come back to you?
No, I can do on the fly.
Collins are over here.
Yeah. All right, there, it's very efficient. All right, one thing I want to mention is the ammunition plant is going to be starting a project on the rail crossings, they call them Damon Crossing locally, that cross Old Highway 34 between Middletown and West Burlington. If you don't know where it's at, you're going to find out. They're going to set up, they're going to set up traffic control, so all the traffic will go into head on just on the two lanes, one, whichever side they're working on. So if they're on the north side, they'll switch over to the south side and vice versa. And they're going to do some work on the crossings, some drainage work, and they're going to put in some pavement. We are a small part of that. Once I found out about the project, we're going to spend about $50,000 as it ended up being. And they were only going to do the crossings and 25-foot approaches, which is the rail right away, essentially. I'm going to go ahead and pay to have the concrete extended from one crossing to the next. So we're going to fill the gap, I guess, would be the best way I would describe that. And so they're doing a pre-construction meeting today. There's been a little activity out there already. People might have seen it, but that's supposed to start up at the end of May. So it won't, you know, it'll be a little bit of a slowdown, but it won't be a closure or anything. People will keep on going through there. There is a business in the middle of there that they have to maintain access that actually drove the cost up just a little bit on our end. So you do have to pay attention in there because there's going to be a little truck traffic and some traffic having to turn in the middle of the construction zone. So I think it'll work out just fine. Either way, that's going to be coming along, and I have a couple guys at that pre-construction meeting. Otherwise, I think depending on where you're at the county, we had anywhere from 5 to 7 inches of rain last week, and we are in the process of preparing paperwork to submit to FEMA for our damages, no different than probably some others. We didn't really have a whole lot until that rain, and then a number of things showed up. So. We do have a couple, I think actually we have 2 dirt roads closed right now because of culverts, but again, those are dirt roads but it's been a while, but it's not anything you look forward to because it kind of changes your workload. So we're working on that, and we'll supply some numbers to FEMA for the secondary roads portion of the disaster for one county, but if we didn't meet it before countywide, we will meet it now. So as far as the monetary threshold. Other than that, just moving along. So
you can amend that document. God forbid the river would rise again.
Yeah, it's still being determined. FEMA, what they do is they have to identify what the disaster beginning and ending points are. The communication I've seen is that the state of Iowa is pushing them to extend the disaster all the way from the beginning of the Missouri River flooding, clear through wherever they decide to shut it off. So if we got something happen tomorrow that would just, you know, cause a lot of damage, in theory, as long as it was in those dates, all that could be added to it. Now, like in one of the years, 2008, 9, or 10, it was a real pain. They would not extend deadlines, so we end up with 2 disasters in the same year. We had a flood, of course, I think it might have been 08, but I could be wrong. Of course, we had the flood of 08, so that was a disaster, and then they went ahead and put a closure on it, and then we had an 8-inch rain that fall. Well, I think that might have been when that hole opened up in front of Schwenker's residence up on Tama. I could be wrong on my year, it's been long enough, and that ended up being a separate disaster, and it really makes for a mess as far as paperwork goes. But so I don't know, ultimately we don't get any say in that, it'll get handed down to us, but the answer is yes, as long as you're in the window, if something happened tomorrow, or we find something else tomorrow, it can be added to it. So this is just preliminary work right now.
If you get back to the Oregon plan, Are they gonna bring a road out on 34? I see they've got a road bed built out there this side of Middletown.
That discussion was a couple years ago, Jim, and yes, at some point they have talked about bringing an additional road out of the ammunition plant. It's been long enough, I'd have to go backwards and remind myself of where that was. That's not part of the work I'm talking about.
No,
that was,
I understand that.
That was a separate.
I know we talked about that other road coming out.
That was a
separate
project.
See, they got a pretty good road bed built up there now, so.
Yeah, that was a separate project from something a couple years ago, and we discussed with them about drainage and some stuff like that. So that was discussed at some point in the past.
Okay.
Bob, did you have something?
No, I was just going to say, if it would, luck would have it, wash out 99 Bridge would sure help you.
And the court have to prove it.
I don't think we're going to get that lucky. And we are still waiting on the court. There's been some movement. And I won't make everybody sit here through some of the arduous details, but we don't have it yet, and we're into another phase of hold up right at the moment. So
since he's being so thoughtful, we've got to move on before he starts thinking.
Well, if I start talking about it, take me a half hour just to explain it. So
thank you,
Ryan. I'll let it go.
Chris, conservation.
Our Skucker campgrounds went underwater again just after we were down there looking at them. Rivers on the rise, and we got to whatever, awakening something. Damages weren't any different than they were before. We've already been down there to our Sycamore Loop, scraped it all up, and it's open again. It's all right.
But we only went up for 2 days?
Yeah.
But not very long.
It was pretty flashy. And so, nothing real major there. This last weekend was Dragon Boat Weekends up at Big Hollow, along with the Becoming Outdoors Woman Workshop, along with a gorgeous weekend. Everybody's finding mushrooms, the fish are biting, and the campground was full. We have, according to my park rangers, we have never had more people in that park at one time ever in the history of Big Hollow. We're literally running out of places to park people. So starting at whatever, the 6 o'clock hour, people started showing up for dragon boats. It was nonstop traffic. We had people parked at the boat ramp, the beach, all the way down the road to our east shelter houses, the observatory, out the hard road, down our service road, down towards the campground, filled every slot in the campground, and had people parked almost all the way down to the shooting range. We've never, ever seen crowds like that. And so somebody was up there with a drone, so I can't wait to see those pictures, to see that size of crowd. But it all went off without a hitch. Like, well, people had fun dragging boats, and there's a lot of other activity there in the park. Seemed to go all right, other than just the traffic was kind of a nightmare. Our park ranger did estimate we had well over 2,000 people in the park at that given time with that much traffic, which is about double what we've ever seen before. Jamboree, we estimate, brings in 1,000 plus, and so this is probably double that, if not more. And so now we got the Jamboree coming up this next weekend, which, if the weather holds out nice for us, it'll be another giant weekend for us. So we've been getting all the logistics squared away for that, and looking forward to that one. So got some families want to bring out and do all the outdoor stuff the Big Hollow has to offer, and get a free lunch and some free swag out of the deal. Come on out and see us. It's 9 till 2 Saturday morning. Saturday, I guess. Jamboree is Saturday, 9 till 2 at Big Hollow.
And it's for?
Everyone. It's a family event. We have every outdoor activity you can do. So shooting, so rifles, shotguns, BB guns for the little ones, archery. We've got fishing, canoeing, boating. I think we've got like camping demonstrations. We got some other outdoor demonstrations. We'll have like scavenger hunts down on the beach. And then there's free lunch and door prizes there at the tents and registration area there in the middle. So we'll have people directing parking right there at the entrance to the park. So just get to Big Hollow and we'll point you in the right direction. We'll have shuttles going back and forth across the park. So once you get in and get parked, you don't have to drive anymore. You just hop on one of our buses and we'll run people back and forth. So.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Colin, IT.
Just keeping busy like always. Nothing really new to report. So.
Ken, Coordinator of Disability Services.
We have another big monthly meeting tomorrow with the SEAL Governing Board and Change Agent. And
Advisory Board, and I think some of the big things we'll be talking about is House File 690 and House File 691 that the governor signed for Children's Behavioral Health Services, the regions being involved in those now, and the region excess cash flow going from 20% to 40%, and giving us a couple more years before we have to get there. So those kind of things, those kind of discussions, and all the new services that we need to start, and it's contracting time, so we have a lot of contracts that we're bringing tomorrow too, so should be some good meetings.
Thanks, Ken. Angie, safety.
Good morning. Don't have much other than just busy trying to get everything set up for the active killer drill that we're going to be doing here.
Sure.
I'm really excited about it. It's a great opportunity for everyone to come together and really see how our emergency services would plan things out and how they would handle things in those situations. So looking forward to that. Just a side note, Brian, on the work they're going to do there at the railroad. For safety purposes, the school uses that as a bus stop right there, that building right there beside that. So they might want to contact them and find out what they're going to do, because people park there and then the buses pull into that building right there at the railroads. And if we're going to change the traffic, that's going to throw a...
School will have to figure that out, but I'll let them know.
Okay.
I'm glad you said something. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Andrew.
That's my friend. Thanks, guys.
Clint, Sheriff's Office.
I don't think we have anything new to report, so just plugging away.
Thank you. Janelle.
Good morning.
County Treasurer.
Well, we got the delinquent notices out late last week, and as a result, we're starting to see or collect those taxes. Trying to think, I got a couple of agenda items for you. And other than that, I'll be heading out later this afternoon for the rest of the week for our Iowa State County Treasurer's annual conference meetings and whatever, schooling over in Council Bluffs.
Did that in Brooklyn last year, didn't you?
Yes, we hosted it last year, and it went really, really well. Everybody enjoyed it, so.
Good. Thanks, Sean. Yeah. Either of you gentlemen have anything? Correspondence. I had no. Proceed to discussion and vote. We have representatives here from the Greater Burlington Partnership concerning Rag Rye. If you introduce yourself for the record.
Rachel Lindeen with the Greater Burlington Partnership, and Chelsea LaRude with me in case I forget anything. So, good morning. First, Brian, we have to ask, Rag Rye is coming in on Old 34 right there. What's the timeline of
It'll
that?
It'll be project? Done before that.
Okay. Thank I figured you. So much. We just had a moment of, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? So.
Well, they'd still be able to write through there, but it will be done before that. I gave them as a deadline.
Okay, perfect. So, Rag Rye is coming to town on July 26th. It's the first time we've ever had an overnight, which is kind of a game changer and kind of a, not gonna lie, a minor freak out in our office. So the way the process goes, the Rag Rye reaches out to local cities, CVBs, Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Chamber of Commerce. The folks down at City Hall always kick it up to our office and we welcome it. So here we are. Hosting Rag Rye this year for the sixth time. There are two co-chairs, myself and Kasak Brewer in our office are co-chairing it with lots of great support staff from our staff. There are four exec committee chairs and then overseeing 18 committees. So it takes a village to bring on Rag Rye. We're expecting over 20,000 people just with Rag Rye riders and their support. So we have to feed them, we have to house them, we have to most importantly get them to everywhere they need to be safely. The county actually has a role in it, whether you know it or not yet, but Gina Harden is overseeing the safety committee. Shanna Krogmeyer, did I say her name right? Shanna Krogmeyer with DESCOM is overseeing the communications. Darren Grimshaw is overseeing all things law enforcement, public safety, but he has recruited the help of the Sheriff's Department as well. So there is some county involved. Because we want to be a great host and neighbor to our community, to Keokuk, who hasn't seen Rag Rye in over 27 years, they are the in-town. We stayed away from anything theme-related with the river. Rag Rye tasks us with coming up with a theme, to host our party, a logo, just kind of the over feel of the town. And we came up with Rally to the Alley because we are not doing anything besides the river along the no dip site. We're, the party will be along the river, but that's about it. So we changed our focus to Snake Alley to probably, we don't know for sure, things are still in the works, some kind of a challenge to ride up the hill. Definitely photo ops, definitely a huge attraction for when they're in town. We kind of touched on it earlier. They will be coming from Fairfield through Lake Geode. I looked up the route this morning, Highway 16 to Bridgeport Road to Geode to Old 34, hence my minor freak out with Brian. They also will leave the next day that same route to Highway 16 down to Denmark. But the route is going to be, they're gonna come in from Geode, kick over on 406. Ragbri gets them to Burlington.
Real quick, you just so the media gets it right, they're not going through Geode.
Yeah, they're just skipping
Yeah, they have to skip it because of construction.
Thank you.
There's construction in Geode too.
They're going past Geode.
They're going. No, they're coming up across the Skunk River through. Through Bridgeport Bridge on Bridgeport Road. I just don't want people to see Geode and
freak out.
I just want to mention.
Thank you. Out. Nope, that's good. So the route into town was, so Ragbrite gets them to Burlington, and then the local law enforcement gets them to where they need to be. I don't think we can stress enough that safety is Ragbrite's number one priority on anything that they do. So they worked with Burlington Police Department, West Burlington, and I think a little bit of the Sheriff's Department, and they chose 406. They're going to come in on Old 34. 406, it is a Friday. We can't cut off access to the hospital. And they're going to go on the west side of the hospital. Is it Washington Road? Okay. Then through the service roads of the hospital by Hospice and Klein to Gear Avenue. They'll head south on Gear Avenue to West Avenue. And I need help again on the road. What's the road that the county jail is on?
Bower.
Thank you. Bower to Mason Road. Mason Road and 61 Roosevelt intersection has less traffic than West Avenue and Roosevelt, hence that reason got picked. So the two main campgrounds, I'm kind of going forward a little bit. Ragbri needs 85 acres of main campgrounds. We have selected BHS, Notre Dame, and Ned Stone. They provide that tent camping. They provide showers, bathrooms, and most of all, shelter in the case of severe weather. So that route will get some of the riders to the school districts there. They'll go over on the service roads into Edstone, and then another about 5,000 people will be camping at Crapo and Dankwart and James Madison. Those will be the two large populations. There's over 600 RV campers at Westland Mall parking lot. They don't need any kind of hookups. It's just parkable space. So route to those two places. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the party will be downtown along the riverfront. We have partnered with Burlington Riverfront Entertainment to host live music from 2 p.m. to midnight, headlining by the Spasmatics, which is an 80s cover band, kind of nerdy theme. It will be fun. There is a shuttle system from all campgrounds to downtown, including Snake Alley. We have partnered with the school districts, regional planning, and the city to create an awesome bus system. Am I missing anything so far?
There's also about 1,000 campers that'll be at SCC.
Yep, it is Des Moines County Fair, so we have limited access and space there. There will be food and vendors along downtown. We recognize that we are not a small community. I pick on Sigourney a lot. We can absorb 20,000 people a lot better than some smaller communities. So we are giving preference to our people that we work with a lot, food, the outside food vendors, the food trucks, people that we work with for farmers market, vintage market, Gusmacher, Criterium, that kind of stuff. So we're going to limit the number of food we have downtown. Ragbri has their whole setup. They bring in all kinds of bike shops and Ragbri things. Those will set up along Jefferson Street. All vendors have a form to fill out through burlingtonragbri.com. And then safety is huge. As I mentioned, we're working closely with DESCOM and emergency management. And I think the reason we come here today is the vendors. I know that there's lots of questions and what to do outside of city limits. So I brought it with me. We have a 300-page how-to book provided to us by RAGBRAI.
Give that to Brian. When you're done with it, you can take it to public health.
Yes. So one of the things RAGBRAI is, I brought extras. I printed off one of the 300 pages for you guys. Vendors can choose to set up out of city limits, but they need to get all proper tax, state tax stuff if they're for profit. They have to follow all temporary and transient food license through public health, or in our case, Lee County Health Department, the health inspectors. They have to gain land, they have to get permission from landowners. There's some things about safety on where they can set up, on what side of the road they could do. But we do have a food and vendor application through our website, and we would, I don't know the proper ask here, so help me out, but have the county set an ordinance to use our food and vendor committee, our food and vendor application. That way, when we go to RAGBRAI, we can say, these are our approved vendors. They will all get a RAGBRAI vendor sign to hang up in their booth or window. And it will also just kind of take away any kind of renegade people that want to just set up along the way and make a profit out of it without playing fairly.
So we would need an ordinance?
Yes. You guys want the, do you want the one page of 300?
I'll take the one page of 300.
Lisa, Sin, why did I walk in here?
Outside city limits.
Did I mention I just had 8 jury trials scheduled for Tuesday?
So, I mean, we would love them to use our application, right?
Are you aware, are there any other counties that already have such an ordinance?
Is there a sample ordinance?
Ordinance or something like that?
We can find one.
So that...
I don't want to recreate the wheel.
Yeah, that's
I did talk to somebody in Henry County, and I asked him, and he was like, "What? I don't know." I'll see what they're doing as well, what our neighbors are doing.
If there would be any sort of a sample or template or something so that the board can pass it.
Yep, that sounds
good. Okay.
Any other questions? I went through a lot of information, and I saved you guys from a lot of details.
We appreciate that. I guess my question would be, is if Brian has any questions or Krista has any questions, can they call you, Rachel?
Yep, absolutely. So I do believe Brian probably got more information from RAGBRAI first.
Okay.
I think that's one thing I might have left out. They work with the county engineer's office to set that local route.
Work with is a strong way to put it.
Suggested.
Send you a letter and then they'll talk to you again.
So I can't yell at you for being in front of my house.
Closer to that.
Okay.
Yeah, we suggested some other routes and we're told they weren't interested.
I just wanted to do you have any idea how many are staying in private residence? How many people? I've got 15 staying in my house.
Yeah,
I was wondering
that's a
how
good
many
thing. So we 400 riders request to be in homes. All RAGBRAI riders sign a liability certificate, so we strongly encourage anybody that's hosting RAGBRAI, whether it be in their yard, in their house, RAGBRAI needs to know where everybody is. They prepare themselves for the worst case scenario. So
how do I do that?
BurlingtonRAGBRAI.com, housing.
Click on the residence tab, and then there'll be a form that you can fill out that says you want to host riders.
And the minimum you need is their name. They all registered riders have a number on their wristband and a team name.
Mm-hmm. So I need that.
That from your people.
And even if you can just get the main contacts information, RAGBRAI can look it up in their system.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're concerned about one versus 15. You know, we really just need the one.
Well, I'm concerned with the safety of everyone in Burlington. Yeah. I want to make sure that you're actually RAGBRAI riders and not some kind of an axe murderer. I just want to make sure they're all bona fide.
And you know, I think that brings up a good point. What we're hearing, and I need to say this politically correct a little bit, the RAGBRAI is aging a little bit, and not as many people are interested as camping. They want air conditioning, they want a bed, they want actually real plumbing in a home.
It has aged.
Yeah.
The RAGBRAI riders are also a very affluent group, so they take care of the communities that they're in. They know If they don't take care of it, then RAGBRAI won't be asked to ever come back. So they clean up after themselves. They are very gracious. So we're just looking to be good hosts to them while they're here.
We are looking forward to it. We know it's a lot of work. You know, Chelsea and our other coworker are expecting blessings in June, and we'll lose them as help. And Jason has resigned, and a new CEO starting in June. So our office is in a big time of transition as well. So not only do we have RAGBRAI, we have a vintage market downtown on July 20th, which is 8,000 people downtown on one day, followed by RAGBRAI and then Gus Macker the following weekend. So we're a little busy.
So if on a normal steamboat day tonight, when they're somewhat crowded, how many people are down there?
I would say the big years were between 8,000 to 10,000.
So you're looking about the same group then?
Yeah, we're kind of planning a party for about 10,000 to 12,000, knowing that not all riders will want to come downtown.
You sent 15 of the partiers, Mr. Corky.
15 will be,
22-year-old goers.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to have food and beer and showers.
And air conditioning.
And air conditioning. They're going to be kind of hurting on that because they're putting tents around them.
Yeah.
Head,
so.
And can I ask, do you have stuff that we could possibly post on our
website? Yep, absolutely. That's a great. BurlingtonRAGBRAI.com is where you'll find all of our stuff. And there is a Facebook page, Burlington RAGBRAI. I mean, we're talking, their conversations are everything from what kind of beer should be served to porta potties, the number of trash cans, to how do we keep 20,000 people safe. Like, the conversations in 18 committees are really busy right now.
If you would, any information you get on an ordinance, something like that, if you would get for the county
what's
attorney
the timeline?
And copy me on that.
Uh-huh. I would do it as soon as possible. Okay. And it would just be to use the food and vendor application.
Yep.
And then we track the sales tax, and because then we have to report that at the end.
Okay.
Like who, what sales tax numbers were here, not the revenues.
And an ordinance, we can waive the second and third reading, right? It's a free hearing. We can waive the second and third hearing. Okay. And you've got to be published 14 days?
10 to 14.
Okay.
Don't worry, their next ask will be for you to volunteer too, so. Any other questions?
I have one, not related to RAGBRAI. Brenda's out, right? Who's done her duties?
Dust did, well, in what capacity?
I want to, next Tuesday, Iowa DOT is in Cedar Rapids. We should be there.
Okay.
And we need to get on their menu or their
agenda.
Yep, I understand. I don't know. Do you know? Not in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy's kind of done the Highway 34 coalition stuff that was local, but I don't know if he's doing total Iowa DOT stuff. Jeremy has the economic development. He did. He attended those Highway 34 coalition meetings.
Well, he might be. If he'd give me a call, or I'll call. I guess I'd call him too. But
he said it's in Cedar Rapids.
It's in Cedar Rapids.
Okay.
I want to get on the agenda, and it'd be three or four would probably go.
Okay.
Maybe more.
Do you need the private sector to attend?
Pardon me?
Do you want like businesses, private sector people to go as well?
Well, we've
taken a crowd if they go.
Traditionally, there's an email list that Brenda had, and she sent, hey, there's a meeting, anybody could go, and then it whittles down to about three of us.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it goes.
I know Dan Wiedemeyer's going.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
we'll figure it out.
And I'll be going. I won't be here next week.
Bob and Dan and I are typically the three that go on it.
Okay.
Not very often we get it this close.
True.
We'll work on it.
And we also need to know where it is. Cedar Rapids got a big place, go door to door and find out.
So you need a lot of info.
Yeah. That's why we pay you guys the big bucks, right?
I think it sounds like we need to go check Brenda's email, so. Which I thought somebody was doing. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks,
I'll be
Rachel.
Back with an ordinance.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank
you think we're more demanding than those guys in Henry County?
I don't know.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Well, it's one of 300.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
If you guys want to leave, you aren't expected to stay through the whole meeting if you have things to do.
I might. Yeah. We have a new ordinance to go right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a good day.
She has her drink. So she'll be back in a couple weeks.
She okay?
Yeah. Healing, Bob.
Thanks.
We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $1,082,296.99.
Move to approve.
Second. Carrie?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have payroll claims reimbursements in the amount of $1,862.69 and non-cash taxable reimbursements of $763.86.
Move to approve. Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a fireworks permit for Spirit Hollow Golf Course for July 3rd, 2019. For July 4th, 2019. They are. Whenever our auditor's office does a wonderful job with this, when they send it here, they've already relieved us of the problem of checking that out.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Amendment to the 2017 military and homestead exemptions. A list of additional and corrected claims for the 2017 military and homestead exemptions in accordance with the Code of Iowa Chapter 426A.2 is attached to this letter. The Board of Supervisors may by a single resolution allow or disallow the exemptions as recommended. I hereby request that the military and homestead tax credits be approved as amended. The amended homestead value is an increase of $14,550 or $563.51. The amended military increase is an increase of $118.52 or $12.82.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Assignment of tax sale certificate number 16-0415 and 16-0416. Kevin Lyles, 501 Whiteman Street, Burlington, would like Des Moines County to assign over their interest in two tax sale certificates, 160415 and 160416, to him. The owner of these empty lots doesn't maintain them, and Kevin lives just one property away to the east and would like to get them for his use and will keep them maintained. He is offering to pay 100% of all the delinquent taxes owed on these parcels in the amount of $506, as well as both the $10 assignment fees. See breakdowns below. First is $258 plus $10. The second is $248 plus $10. I'm respectfully recommending that the county honor his request for the assignment of certificates. If you agree, please sign where indicated on both the assignments of certificate and tax sale certificates, which you will find attached. Deborah Moore, Deputy Treasurer, Des Moines County Treasurer's Office.
Move to approve. Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. I keep reaching for the wrong stamp. Sure, that won't work out for me here in a minute or two. We also have an assignment of tax sale certificate. Mr. Brian Gashler, 14876 Washington Road, Lot 23, West Burlington, would like Des Moines County to assign over their interest in tax sale certificate 18-0453 to him. His reason for purchase is for investment purposes. He is offering to pay 100% of all the delinquent taxes owing and currently payable on this parcel in the amount of $700, as well as the $10 tax assignment fee. I believe we approved several for this gentleman in the last few weeks.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Am I the assignor?
Yes, on that one page.
Yep.
We're unlikely to ever get out of here. Okay, we've got one left. Same gentleman, Byron Gashler, is offering to pay 100% of the delinquent taxes and owing on Lot 23, Tax Sale Certificate 18-0463. Okay. You'll have to sort these out. We have one more gentleman.
Okay. I move to approve.
Terry?
Move to defer.
Bob?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
I
You got me trained on this last one.
We'll see here in a minute.
We have reports, we have reports of the recorders. Fees collected April 2019. This report will be on file in the auditor's office and available for public review. And we have minutes for the regular meeting of April 30th, 2019.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Have any other business?
I don't know if this is other business or not, but you know, last Thursday, I've got a I kind of want to read this to you. New London School Center High School out to Burlington completed, you know, one of the sandbaggers. So they brought over their high school, 88 kids, 88 high schoolers, along with superintendents, teachers, and everything. They filled two buses to bring them over, and they had vans. And the students filled multiple pallets, 7 dump trucks, a flatbed trailer, and a pickup truck full of sandbags. It says, we continue to be amazed how thoughtful and giving our student body is. I think that is pretty good.
That is.
When they ask
good for them.
That's a lot of sandbags.
Burlington High School sent the wrestling team over too.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had a lot of help out there. It was wonderful. I'm still picking sand out of my shoes though.
That sand pile, I couldn't believe how big that sand pile was out there.
It was a lot bigger than that when it started.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, I thought that was pretty good that the school did that, you know.
That is good. I pass on our thanks to them.
When I was back in 08, I was up on the Oakville levee, and they were filling sandbags and putting them on four-wheelers, and there was just a steady line of four-wheelers. And they hardly even stopped. I just kaboom, they put on there. And I saw them, they backed a truck in there, dumped a load of sand, filled it full of sandbags, and put them on that, and that truck pulled it. There's many people around, so very slowly moved out of there, another back in, and dumped. And that the first sand's gone. And of course, it didn't make it, it blew away, but it's amazing what people will do if they put their mind.
That's a lot of sandbags, 7
Oh my. Lisa Schaefer, the Des Moines County Attorney, stepped in a few minutes and I didn't get a chance to thank you. Lisa was being proactive. She was finding temporary offices for her staff and moving records out of the way of the floods just in case. So our thanks for that. We thank Rodney. He was helping out down there too, so anything you'd like to report from the attorney's office?
We have extended an offer and it has been accepted to a new attorney. He'll be starting on June 10th. He's from Albuquerque. He's originally from Iowa, but he's been in Albuquerque for the last several years, working for prosecutors and public defender's offices down there. So we're excited to have more hands on deck, which will certainly help. You know, we're still watching our pool across the street that has been fluctuating. So we'll see if the rain holds off. That would help tremendously. But yeah, Rodney and Colin were great in helping us establish some sort of a contingency plan. So if we couldn't access our building for whatever reason, whether it was just the roads around us or the building itself got flooded. And also extend a thank you to the Sheriff's Office and the Police Department, who indicated they would provide us with workspace if we needed it, so.
Thank you. I didn't thank you, Colin, so thank you. Clint, appreciate that. Pretty much all hands on deck, so that's great.
Otherwise, we're just staying busy. Like I said, I think we have eight trials scheduled for next week. And
I see that in the paper.
I've seen the paper this morning. Got a couple of them you're gonna ship back over to Illinois.
Yeah, I just kept my hand off of that one. They could be Illinois' issue. We have enough of our own. We don't need any more.
I'm confident the bill we send to Illinois for the $50 a bay for taking care of them will be ignored. they have no money. Future agenda items.
I have none.
Committee reports.
I have none. We attended a tour, conservation tour. Chris took it around and showed us several areas of his concern, and quite interesting. And then I stayed and attended a conservation meeting afterward, which they have put out some mineral rights, and I assume that those mineral rights, that money will probably stay in their thing like they did last time.
Mm-hmm.
See what else we do. I didn't miss anything, did I? It was a nice meeting there. A good bunch of people. They save us a lot of time and effort. Tom and I went to Danville Station, had a nice presentation from people and got the tour through their.
We were window dressing for a fundraising effort.
Yeah. Which just sounds like was successful.
Was it good?
Yeah, they're trying to bring in a rail car from Germany that was used during World War II to transport Jews to the concentration camps.
They have some people there, they wanted to donate some money, and so they wanted us to tell them how much we appreciate it.
If you haven't been in Danville Station and taken a tour, I strongly advise you to go do it. It is really something. Those people have worked very hard, and it's not always been easy for them. There have been some opposition to them, and it's really something. It really is something.
Basically, for a small community of 950 people.
Yeah. And I did a DESCOM and a DCAT yesterday. DCAT is budget is going way down due to funding. It's being cut a bunch.
Yeah.
That's the first time we've been through it, and probably won't be the last. And of course, DESCOM, y'all kind of know what's going on there, I guess. We don't know what's going on. We have an agreement all drawn up and everybody agreed to it, but now we're trying to get the towns to ratify, and I don't know how many of them have done it.
West Burlington. Did they all vote for it when they voted on that 2080 in the DESCOM meeting? Did they?
Well, and I don't want to point my finger at those papers.
I didn't do that.
But there's they say they're getting double charged, and they're not.
They're not.
They're not getting double charged. But when they put it in, they want us to do it, and then they TIF 8-10% of the territory.
Yep.
Now who are you supposed to get double charged on that? We raise the taxes.
Yep.
We raise the taxes. They TIF it. They take the taxes. Then we have to raise everybody else's taxes to make up for it. Yep. Now, how's that work?
It's not fair.
Yep. So, we have an excellent service in that DESCOM, and if they don't like the way it's funded, we'll have to renegotiate and get have less dispatch.
I might have to give you some of my notes that I did on Russ.
Well, I don't think it's quite the same, but it's kind of hair-raising. It's a lot nicer if somebody else does the charge, I guess. But I thought Jim Furnob had a pretty good explanation of it on radio today, and that when he said it really doesn't make that much difference. We're going to pay for it one way or another.
Well, the way it is now, it's per capita.
Yeah.
So that was the way it was originally set up, that they wanted it per capita.
It was all set up and agreed to by all parties concerned. It would be done by per capita.
And we will have an effective governing board, it, and in my experience, boards are always more effective when they have a financial
interest. Yes.
In the board they're on. So anyway, either I attended a crisis intervention training meeting, the Crisis Intervention Training Committee. They just finished a recent training, and there are 32 trained crisis intervention trained officers, law enforcement officers in this region, and 13 of them are in Des Moines County. That doesn't include, there's a number of fire and jail personnel that have gone through the person, those weren't included in the statistics, and they're planning the next training toward the end of October. So, how much, you've got several from Des Moines County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, I think, I don't remember the exact number, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it would send through the training.
But I think there, anybody I've talked to, that the response from the officer from the training is they found it useful.
Yeah, it seems to be a really good program that they can get a lot of use out of in the field, and it's a good deal.
Thanks, Clint. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, please stand up, give your name and address for the record, and try to limit your comments to 2 minutes. Seeing no one rise, with an aye, we are adjourned.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.